Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Kuf Aleph. Before we begin the Gemara text, we glance in our margin where we see the Nosei. Nosei is the topic heading, and we've written there, Asiyas Kelim Lo Kefi HaMetuchnan. The manufacture or production of a vessel, but not in accordance with the original plan. Eich Mishalmim. How do we go about payment for that situation? The way we've presented it here in our introduction, we've presented in a general form allowing for some variations on the theme. But the theme is an original intention on the part of the owner of a vessel and the final outcome not matching his original intention because of, we'll say, some type of worker deviation. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Hanoisein Eitzim L'chorosh. A person presents wood to a carpenter. Lasois mehen kisei, v'aso mehem safsal. The customer's intention was for the worker, the carpenter, to make a chair, and instead he made a different type of furnishing, an item called a safsal. A safsal in modern Hebrew is a bench. So you can see the distinction between a chair and a bench. That's what happened here. Or the opposite. Safsol v'osam en kisei. You ordered a safsol to be made, and instead he made a kisei. A chair. Rabbi Meir, Omer noisein lo demei eitzov. Rabbi Meir says that the carpenter pays the customer the value of wood. Namely, the value of the wood that the customer gave to the carpenter originally. Rabbi Meir explains that the carpenter keeps the product as he acquired it through shinui, through the change. Had he not made the change, so he delivers it to the owner as it is. This is what the owner, that would have been what the owner requested to be made. But being that the owner didn't request this, he acquires it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand says, Im Hashevach Yeser al Hayetziah, Noisein lo es Yetziah. We discussed Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in our last year. Rabbi Yehuda imposes a knas, a fine, on the carpenter, on the worker, for having changed from what he originally was instructed to do. Therefore, if the improvement is worth more than the outlay, the expenses, the customer receives the new item, the final product, and he pays the worker the expenses. In other words, the lesser amount. V'im hayetziah yaser al hashevach. If the expenses are greater than the improved value in the wood, being that it's now made into a piece of furniture, no saying lo as a shevach. The customer takes the final product and pays the worker the improved value. In other words, the worker is not going to be recovering even his expenses, being that the expenses exceeded the improved value. The worker gets only that as his payment, the improved value. Umoide Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir will concede. Im nosan eitzim l'chorosh lasus mehem kisei noe ve'osa mehem kisei kiur. If the worker was given wood to make an attractive, a pleasant looking chair, and instead he made an ugly chair. There isn't sufficient change in this work for him to acquire. It's simply a qualitative difference. And another example, Safsal v'noev also Safsal kiur. Likewise, he was given wood to make a nice, attractive Safsal, and instead he made an ugly one. You'll see here, Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Yehuda's method of payment, im hashevach yesra l'yitzia. If the improvement is worth more than the expenses, no saying lo demei hayitzia. The customer gets the furnishing, and he pays the worker for his expenses. Im hayitzia yesra l'shevach. And if the expenses exceed the improvement, no saying lo demei hashevach. The customer pays the worker the value of the improvement. Here the Gemara turns to a new topic. And on the side, we have a nosei, which reads, HaGemara she'elis, the Gemara will ask, Yesh shevach simonim, or samonim, al hatzemer, o in shevach samonim al hatzemer. Samonim is a reference to dyes. When wool is dyed, do we say that the improvement in the wool is viewed in legal terms as a separate item independent of the wool? That might sound a bit abstract, but as we go through the Gemara, we'll eventually gain an understanding of what the Gemara is asking. Triangles will appear immediately, and there's a numbering scheme as well. We'll be counting five triangles as we go down the Omid, and on the side under our Mivna, our structural note, where a triangle is featured, we indicate that these are nisyonos, attempts lefa'aneach, to decipher mahi hashela, what is the question. Many times the Gemara asks a question, and a good part of the time the Gemara dedicates itself to trying to figure out what the question is in the first place. And that's the case we have at hand. Ibai Alaho. So the Gemara says a question was raised. Yesh shevach simonim al hatzemer, o ein shevach simonim al hatzemer. Rashi says, he says, klomar, is chazusa milsahi? Is chazusa appearance considered a significant entity in and of itself? And so here the Gemara asks that question, and we ask on the question, "Hey Chidomi, what are you talking about? How are we to understand the question?" In lema de gozal samonim v'dakinu v'tarinu v'tzava bohen. If the question arises in a case where someone stole. Samonim would be, in this case, the raw material from which dyes are made. Oftentimes, plant roots and other plant parts. So, are we to think that we're talking about someone who stole the plant roots, crushed them, soaked them in water, and then dyed something with them? Typically, you would conclude the ruling in such a case, mishum de kaninu bishinui. The thief acquired the dyes through his having changed them from their original form, plant parts or plant roots. So that the analysis of is the improvement in the wool a separate item or not is irrelevant if this were the case. Lo tzrichano, the question needs to be raised. The gozal samonim shruyin, the thief stole ready dye. Samonim literally are the plant parts that are shruyin that were soaking, so that the pigment emerged from within the plant parts, ready for use. V'tzavabu, and he dyed some fabric with the stolen dyes. My, we now ask, Yesh shevach simonim al gabi tzemer, do we say that the improvement on the wool is a separate entity, the Omar lay, where the victim can say, Havli siminoi deshaklesinu, give me back my dyes. In say the victim would be saying, give me back the dyed fabric. There you can see those are my dyes, and the dyes stand as an independent entity. Hence, it's something that lends itself to be returned in its dyed state. Or alternatively, we say that the dye doesn't stand as an independent entity. The Amale, the thief in this case, would say, Les loch gaboy velomidi. You don't have anything of yours by me at all. In other words, dyed fabric is not the dyes. Your dyes are not here. So that the return or the presentation of the dyed fabric would not constitute a return of the dyes. The Gemara rejects this as the analysis of the question. Amri, v'ein shevach simonim al gabi tzemer. And if you were to take the approach that the dyed fabric doesn't represent the dyes as an independent entity, mi motzi omarle, can the thief really say, les loch gaboy velo midi, I don't have anything of yours? Namole, let the victim say, Hav li samoni dav sidinu, give me back my dyes that you have ruined, that you have caused me a loss of. So that even if you were to take the approach that the improvement doesn't stand as an independent entity, the victim still has a claim. The thief can't push him off by saying, you don't have anything of yours by me. Elo lahach gisa. Rather, the analysis is in this direction, in the other direction. Ein shevach simona malgabi atzemer uboi shlumile. Do we say that the improvement does not stand as a separate entity, and therefore the thief will have to compensate financially for having stolen prepared dyes? Oidilmo ye shevach simona malgabi atzemer. Or do we say that the improvement stands as a separate item in the wool, and therefore, v'yomale, the thief can say, ha manchi kamoch shaklinu. Here they are, presenting him the dyed fabric. Here are your dyes, go and take them. Morris says, what do you mean, go and shaklinu, go and take them? But my shakli, how can you take the dyes that are absorbed in the fabric? Answer, b'tzofun, with soap. The Gemara says, Sofon avuri maver, hashovalo of it. Soap will wash out the dyes. It doesn't constitute a return of the dyes. So we don't see in number three an analysis of, in the case presented in number three, or the analysis presented at stage three, we don't see the two sides of the analysis. All we see is there would be nothing to ask about whether you say ein shevach or yesh shevach. If what we were speaking about is stolen dyes, the thief would have to make a cash payment. So that's not the question of the Gemara. We're looking for an issue that is not clear and that needs to be analyzed. Ela hocha b'mai askinon. Rather, what are we talking about in the question that we've raised? Kegon de gozal tzemer v'samonim dechad. Someone stole wool and dyes belonging to an individual. V'tzave lahu tzemer b'hanoch simonim. And the thief dyed the stolen wool with those stolen dyes. V'komahad elei mihalei latzemer. And the thief now returns the dyed wool to the victim. Yesh shevach simon magabi atzemer v'kol mahadilei simon v'atzemer. Do we say that the improvement stands independent of the wool itself, and by returning the dyed wool, he's returning exactly what he stole? Wool plus dyes. Oy dilmo ein shevach simon magabi atzemer. Or do we say that there is no, the improvement doesn't stand as a separate entity with regard to the wool, and in returning the wool to the victim, v'tzemer mahadilei, so he is returning wool, samonim lo mahadilei, but dyes he is not returning. The dyes have become part and parcel, have become fused with the wool, so he's not returning dyes. Amri, the Gemara says, if that's the analysis, but why is there any doubt over here about what the thief's obligations are? Amri, tapoklei da'iker lei nihalei bedomi. Why not simply conclude that the thief fulfills his return obligation by the fact that he's returning something that's more valuable? Lo tzricha, no, that the question remains to be asked. Dezolt siva. We're referring to a situation where dyed wool is not worth more, and the improvement in the dyed wool doesn't reach the value of dyes separate from undyed wool. So being that that's the scenario, that zol means cheapened, tzivot, dyed wool, that's the environment, that's the scenario, there is room to analyze our question in this scenario. The scenario where the thief stole raw wool or undyed wool and prepared dyes, dyed the wool, and then presented the dyed wool back to the owner. Does he fulfill his obligations by doing that? If you say yesh shevach simonim al gabi tzemer, then he has fulfilled his obligation by returning the dyed wool. If not, obviously no. You'll notice in our markings we had a few lines ago Roman numeral number 1. That was placed there as we'll say, final answers as to what was behind the original question. What was the case? We asked the question at the opening of this section of Gemara, right before the first triangle, Hefi Domi, what are we speaking of? What are the circumstances when you raise the very question of Yesh Shevach Simona Magabi Tzemer O Ein Shevach Simona Magabi Tzemer? So we have an answer to that. The case numbered Roman numeral number 1, where we said he stole raw wool and ready-made dyes. The Gemara goes on, Iboy Esema number 2. This is a second answer within what we have here is triangle number 4, a separate answer to answer the question of Hechi Domi. Kigon Ditsova Bahu Koifa. The fellow stole dyes, and he stole a koif. A koif is a monkey. He stole a monkey and dyes. And then the thief dyed the monkey. There's no improvement in the value of a dyed monkey over a natural monkey. So, do you say yesh shevach simonim al gabi tzemer? If you say that, so returning the dyed monkey will enable the thief to fulfill his obligations. And if ein shevach simonim al gabi tzemer, then returning the dyed monkey enables the thief to fulfill his obligations regarding the return of the monkey, but not the dyes. You'll notice we have, in addition to the Roman numerals, we also had, this is, you see a little number 2 in parentheses, And just earlier on the same line, we saw a little number 1. The reason for these numbers is that these represent answers to the question of the Gemara of Tepuk Le Daiker. We said, why is there any question to begin with in the case that the thief died, the item that he stole along with the dies? After all, there is increase in value. So to that we say, no, we had Dazal Tziva, that was one, there is no increase in value. And number 2 is the stolen monkey that he now died did not increase the value of the monkey. So we have 2 answers to that issue as well, to the issue of Tepuk Le Da'iker Le Nihale. So I hope that we've clarified the Gemara structure. It's a little bit, I would say, a little bit involved, a little bit complicated, but nevertheless, I hope with the numberings, the Roman numerals 1 and 2, we've highlighted that we've answered the, under triangle number 4, we've given 2 answers to the original question of Heichi Dami. And within this discussion, we've given 2 answers, even though Roman numeral 2 and number 2 in parentheses are really one and the same, but they're 2 answers to explain that we're not dealing with a situation of Iker, of increased value after the dying. Number 5, Ravina Omar, Hochaba Mayaskinon. Here, in our original question, what are we talking about? We're not talking about a case of theft. We asked a question originally, Yesh Shevach Simonim Al Gal Tzemer, O Ein Shevach Simonim Al Tzemer? The scenario is as follows, Kigon Detzemer Dechad V'Simonim Dechad. You have wool belonging to one party, dyes belonging to another party, V'Kasi Kaif, and surprisingly, another monkey comes into the picture. A monkey comes along, Vitzave Lahu Tzemer Bahanach Simonim. And the monkey dyed the wool with those dyes. So there's no issue of theft over here. Yesh Shevach Simonim Agabi Tzemer. Do we say that the improvement in the wool, the improvement stands as an independent entity? Diomarlay, whereby the owner of the dyes could say, Hav li samonoi de gaboch ninu, give me back my dyes, they are by you. Oy dilma, or do we say, Ein shevach simonim al gabi tzemer, that there is no improvement. The improvement doesn't stand as a separate entity. The omar and the owner of the wool, the Omar Lay, the owner of the wool, will say, Les loch gaboy klum, I don't have anything of yours. We saw an analysis like this earlier in the context of a thief, but in a case of thievery, so the victim has a financial claim against the thief. Here, we don't have any issue of thievery, so that the owner of the wool looks at the owner of the dye, saying, I don't have anything of yours. Assuming the approach that Ein Shevach Simonim Al Gabi Tzemer. So we've raised the question, and we've given scenarios where the question has legal bearing. Well, how do we answer the question? Do we look at the improvement of the wool as independent of the wool itself? The diamonds that you see introduce the expression Toshman on the side of the Mandara Mivne. We indicate that the Toshma series are Nisyonis Lanas Ala Shela I Chazusa Milsehi, attempts to respond to the question, do we view the Chazusa, literally the appearance, the change in color, as Milsa, something significant in and of itself? So we continue in the Gemara, Toshma, Beged, Shitsavoy, Beklipe, Orla, Idolek. A garment that was dyed with dyes that came from the peels of Orla. Orla is a halacha that refers to fruits during the first 3 years of the tree's life. those fruits, including the fruit peels, are prohibited to benefit from. In this source, we've described a garment that was dyed using, we'll say, using those forbidden fruit peels as a source of dye. And what is the ruling? The beged, the article of clothing, must be burnt. Almo chazusa milsehi. So we see from here that appearance is considered a separate, independent entity mandating the burning of the clothing. If you were to say that chazusa is not a separate entity, then all you have are clothing. You wouldn't have any reason to burn them. The Gemara rejects this and says that you can't use the Orla example as a prototype for analyzing the issue of chazusa milsa, appearance being a separate or independent entity. Omar Rava, Hano Hanire Le'inayim Osra Torah. In general, appearance in and of itself has no legal substance. When it comes to Orla, though, Hano Hanire Le'inayim, benefit, pleasure that is visible, is included in the Torah prohibition of Orla, something unique to Orla. So even though it doesn't have substance, it doesn't stand, the improvement, the appearance doesn't stand as an independent entity, nevertheless, in the case of Orla, there is a prohibition. Desanya. And here we quote a pasuk from Vayikra, Perek Yutaz Pasuk Chav Gimel. Before we continue in the Gemara text, just glance in the margin. You see, we've written the relevant section of the pasuk where it says, "Va'raltem or losu espirio, shalosh shonim ye lochem areilim lo ye ochel." So now we turn to the Gemara, areilim lo ye ochel, ein li elo isur achila. From that phrase, I would think that the prohibition of orla is a prohibition of eating fruits during the first 3 years of the tree's life. Minayin shelo ye'enu mimeno. From where do I know that you're not allowed to even benefit beyond the issue of just eating? You're not allowed to benefit. V'lo yitzva boy, v'lo yadlik boy saner. You shall not use it as dyes. You shall not use it as fuel for a candle. Talmud lomar va'araltem or loso es pirio. Skipping the bracketed section for a moment, L'raboy says kulam. The pasuk also said varaltem or loso es pirio. That comes to include all forms of benefit, not just eating. The reason for the brackets is that in Maseches Kiddushin Daf Nun Vav Omed Beis, we see that the drusha to include the benefit beyond merely eating is from the expression of Oraltem Orlosos Pirio. Hence, we are de-emphasizing the expression Areilim Lo Ye'ochel, which was the opening part of this source, which teaches me the basic prohibition of eating Orla fruits. To extend the prohibition, we need to cite the Araltem Orloso as Pirio. That having been said, the source involving burning of article of clothing dyed with Orla doesn't address our issue. Toshma, Beged Shitzavoy Beklipe Shvias, Ido Lake. A garment that was dyed with fruit peels from the Shemitah year. The Shemitah year has restrictions. The Shemitah is the seventh year of the Jewish agricultural cycle, during which all fruits that have sanctity of the seventh year are declared unowned. They are available for the public for eating purposes, not for not for commercial purposes, not for other purposes. So Rashi points out that under the heading of commercial restriction with regard to Shemitah produce, you will include things like dyeing clothing. So we say that we see from here that the appearance, the dyed clothing, will then it apparently has independent significance. Otherwise, why would I have to burn the clothing dyed with the Shemitah fruit peels? The Gemara says, no, you can't use Shemitah as a prototype, because Shiny Hossam, there it's different. The Omar Kraw, the Pasuk says Tihyeh. In the context of Shemitah, the word Tihyeh appears, and from this we learn, Behav Yosa Tehei. Shemitah fruits remain as Shemitah fruits, even if you use them for dyeing. That's a special Gzeres HaKosuv with regard to Shemitah products. We can't say that this is an analysis that we can extend to all cases of Chazusa Milsa here or not. So the at this point in the Gemara, then there is no, we haven't resolved the issue from these sources. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. A new marking appears, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh, structural note. The house shape appears with a double underline. Rava Malas Stirois Bein Makuros. Rava will be raising what appear to be contradictions between Tanaic sources. Banyan number one, Chazusa Milsup, regarding the issue we've been dealing with till now. Does change in appearance stand as an independent entity from the item itself? And then a second topic that Rava deals with in raising a contradiction, the second topic is Eitzim, wood. He yesh bohen kedusha shvias. Does the sanctity of Shemitah attach itself to wood? In other words, in addition to fruits, wood of the Shemitah year, does it have sanctity? You may notice additionally the use of a long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the one, and that long marking represents the Gemara's preoccupation with the stira. The presentation of the stira of the contradiction lasts throughout those lines. The Gemara has an answer at the end, of course. And then you'll notice the number two, where the second stira that Rava raises is also presented with a long marking. Now the Gemara. Rava Rami. Rava raises a seeming contradiction. Tanan, on the one hand, we have a source. The source we saw on Omid Aleph, Beged Shitzava Beklipe Orla Idalek, a garment dyed using Orla fruit peels, must be burnt. Alma, from here, you see Chazusa Milsehi, that appearance is viewed as independent from the item itself, from the garment itself. As we explained earlier, if the appearance wouldn't be viewed as an independent item, then all you have is an article of clothing. The fact that it's dyed becomes of no relevance. The fact that the ruling here is that the article of clothing is to be burnt, it must be that the appearance stands independent of the article of clothing. And since it's dyed, there's nothing else you can do with it other than burn it. Orla is, as we said earlier, prohibited to benefit from. Viromini. We raise then a contradiction to this conclusion, the Chazusa Milsa, from another source. Now this other source deals with the topic of Tumas Oihel. Tumas Oihel has relevance in most discussions concerning Tumas Mase, defilement to the dead. In addition to a corpse, blood that comes forth from a corpse, the blood amounting to a revius, that's a liquid measure, that measure of blood coming from the dead, also has the capacity of generating tumas mace, which in a case of an enclosed area or an area that's overshadowed by some source of overshadowing, whether it be a tree branch or a canopy or whatever, other items that are simultaneously underneath the same overhang, the same roof as the Revius Dam, will become defiled, will become Tomei. That's a general word about Revius Dam, a Revius measure of blood from a corpse and its power to generate Tumas Oyel. In the source that we're about to read, we have we've used brackets. In fact, there are two sets of brackets you'll see within the source, and we'll attempt to explain them. The first point is that you see angular brackets. Those are for skipping for initial purposes. Why? Because the stira, the contradiction that Rava raises, is from the latter part of the source. So let's do that first. So we open this source with the words Revius Dam, and we skip Nivla Bixus, a Revius Dam that was absorbed in an article of clothing. And the article of clothing was brought into a house. Within that house are many other vessels. Royan, we evaluate. Literally, we look at this, we evaluate it. We want to know whether the other vessels in the house have become defiled by the presence of this garment that has absorbed within it a Revius of Dam. So how do we conclude the matter? How do we evaluate it? Im miskabeses haksus v'yotze mimeno Revius Dam, tomei. If you wash the article of clothing, for our purposes, you have a certain defined quantity of water. Whatever, you have 2 gallons of water, and you put this article of clothing that had a Revius of blood absorbed within it, and you soaked it in 2 gallons of water. And then, after a while, you remove the garment, and lo and behold, you have 2 gallons of water plus a Revius. In other words, you have 2 gallons plus a Revius. And I know that I started out with only 2 gallons of water. How do you account for the extra Revius of liquid there? That's the blood. That's the blood that was released from the garment. So if that be the case, when I brought the garment into the house, that we see later released a Revius of Dam, that indicates to us that the other vessels that were in the house are defiled. V'im lav tohor. If an additional Revius quantity of liquid is not found, you have 2 gallons and a plus mashehu, but plus a negligible amount, but not a full Revius. The house is tohor. The vessels in the house are tohor. Now, we know as a fact, we know that the garment absorbed initially a Revius of blood. When you look at the garment, so you have a garment that's blood-stained with a Revius of blood stain. So that you have the appearance, and I emphasize that word appearance, or used the word before, chazusa, the chazusa of a Revius dam, but that does not generate tumas oil. What do we see from here then? That chazusa lav milsehi, that mere appearance, isn't viewed as an independent entity. In order for there to have been tumas oil, there would have to be an actual release of a Revius of Dam. But mere appearance doesn't create the tumas oil. Then at that point, then we have a stira between the beged, the source above, where we said beged shetzava b'klipar lo yidalek, the article of clothing died with Orla, fruit peels must be burnt. And here we see no tumas oil, even though a Revius of Dam is in fact absorbed, and there's, you can see a blood stain that is the result of absorbing a revius of blood. We'll read the answer, and then we'll go back to the section we skipped. Omar Rav Kahana, Mikule Revios Shanu Kan. This source is speaking about a very specific case where we are lenient. Kule, for Kula, we are lenient with regard to this particular issue of a revius. What is the case? It's not exactly, as we said before, a revius of blood from a corpse, but it's bedam tavusa, the rabbonon. It's blood that came from a murdered victim. A murder victim, and blood is found by his side, but we don't know. Did the blood in question emerge while he was still alive? That kind of blood does not defile. Or is it blood that emerged after his death? That's a suffix concerning the revius. And as a result of that, it occupies, we'll say, a special category in halacha, and we are makil with regard to dam tavusa, the blood coming from a murder victim, suffix whether it emerged while he was alive, suffix the doubt maybe it emerged after his death. So only because of that we are lenient. But otherwise, as far as Rava is concerned, it would appear from this Gemara that he holds chazusa milsahi. The Tosfos at the top points out that on Omid Aleph we had someone telling us that Orla is different and you can't learn from Orla. Tosfos' suggestion is that the one that presented that idea on Omid Aleph was Rabba, a different authority than Rava here. One ends with a hey, and this Rav ends with an Aleph. That's one approach that the Tosfos takes to resolve, we'll say, that question that you may have raised from the Gemara on Omid Aleph. Tosfos has another suggestion, but for the meantime, we'll leave it at that. Now, we did skip a section of this source that we now go back to in the bracketed section. The source began with the expression revius dam, shenivla bebayis. A revius of blood was absorbed into the house itself. Habayis tome, v'amri lo habayis tor. Some say the house is defiled, meaning that vessels that are in the house become defiled. Others say it's not. And the brackets that you see here, these curlicue style brackets, are simply here to show us that within this section, the Gemara itself immediately resolves these two opinions. The lo pligi, the Gemara says, there isn't any argument between these two opinions. Ha bekelim dehavu meikara, the opinion that says tome, the bayis tome, that's a reference to vessels that were there before the blood was absorbed. So you had vessels in the house, and then a revius of blood was absorbed into the house, so those vessels become defiled. Ha bekelim de'asu lebesof. The teaching that the house is tohar is a reference to vessels brought into the house after the blood was already absorbed into the floor of the house. Now we turn to number two. Rava Rami. Rava raises another stira. Tanan. Mimin Hatsoifim. Different sources of dyes. Svife setim v'koitza. Yeshlem shvius l'dmeim shvius. We refer to the laws of the Shemitah year in our Gemara back on Omid Aleph. Here is another reference to Shemitah year. The Shemitah year is a year in which agricultural activity is prohibited. Hence, you're not going to find any grains or vegetables planted during the Shemitah year. There are, however, things that grow on their own from seeds that happen to fall during the last harvest. Those are called svifim, things that grow on their own. There are prohibitions that apply to those kind of plants. In this source, we're dealing with svifim of plants that are used for dyeing. And the source says that Yesh Lahem Shvius Uldvayim Shvius, they have Shemitah sanctity, and the monies that one might have received in exchange for them have Shemitah sanctity. Yesh Lahem Bior Uldvayim Bior. Bior is the halacha that tells us when a particular plant is no longer in season, particular Shemitah growth is no longer in season, you have to get rid of it if you happen to have any of it in your possession. Likewise, with money that you received in exchange for those items, the monies must be destroyed. Alma, what do we see from this? Eitzim yesh bo mishum kedusha shvius. Eitzim is a word, if you translate it literally, means wood. Here, I'm not sure that we're dealing with something that's actually wood in the conventional sense, but they're inedible plants. So we categorize them as wood. The Torah speaks about Shvius as a year for the fruits of Shvius are there for eating. La'ochla. Let us look at Rashi on the first line under the Gemara text, Yesh Lahen Uldveim Shvius. She'ein Oysen Mehem Schora. When we speak about these dye plants as having Shemitah sanctity, we're telling you you're not allowed to conduct commerce with them. Derachmon Amar La'ochla, for lo l'schora. The Torah says Shemitah is a year where the plant growth, where the fruit growth is for eating, not for commercial purposes. The Osu Litzboya Bohen, Dahainu Schoira. We made reference to this in our shir earlier today. We mentioned that Rashi said that, and this is the Rashi that we were referring to, that it's also to die with Shemitah plants, that is a violation of Schora. It's a commercial activity. Avol mutarin hein lahasikon kirem zman habior. It's mutter, however, to burn them before they go out of season. Dahainu dumya de la'ochla. The benefit that you get from them while they are burning is a benefit that's similar to eating. We're going to. There's a lot more to say on this particular topic, and that's as will become developed as the Gemara unfolds. What we conclude from this is that Eitzim, then Yesh Bohen Mishum Kedusha Shvius, we see from here that that wood, these Sfichin, as Rashi says at the end of Dibur Masel Yesh Lahem Bior, he says these Sfichim are considered Eitz Ba'alma. And how are we treating them? We're treating them no differently than we would treat Shemitah produce. We're showing you how they have Shemitah sanctity. The money that you get in exchange for them also gains sanctity. They have to be, you have to rid them from your house when they go out of season. All of that indicates that Eitzim, that wood, gains Shemitah sanctity. Viromini. And now we raise a contradiction. Ole konim v'ole gefanim. The leaves of reeds, the leaves of vines. Shegivivon b'chovei. You gathered them and made a pile of, you made a storehouse out of them. In other words, you put them in storage. Al pnei hasadeh, you store them on the field. Lokton la'achila yesh bohen mishum kedusha shvias. If you gather these leaves for eating purposes, I think there is a food that is associated with grape leaves, stuffed grape leaves and the like. So you see that ale gefanim can be viewed as a food item. So if you gathered them, piled them up on your field for eating purposes, then they will have kedushas shvias sanctity. However, and here's what we want to focus on, le'etzim, if you gather them for fuel purposes, for wood purposes, for fuel purposes, ein bohem mishum kedushas shvias, they do not gain shmita sanctity. And that being the case, you'd be allowed to benefit from them even when they are no longer in season. So we have a contradiction regarding Eitzim. Do Eitzim gain Shemitah sanctity or not? Umeshani, Omar Kro. And we answer as follows. The Pasuk says, La'ochla, that the Shemitah produce is for eating. B'mi shanoso ubi'uroi shavin. La'ochla represents a concept. And we've said this so many times throughout Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, that in learning Torah, particularly learning Gemara, do not fall into the trap of literal translation. You have to learn how to develop concepts from words that you see. So the term lochla literally means eating, but when you analyze eating, you discover that the pleasure that you get from the fruit, from the item that you're eating, the pleasure is simultaneous with its destruction. As you're chomping away on the food item, it's being destroyed. And it's at that point that you're also enjoying it, that you're benefiting. So, Shemitah applies to things that are hanaosai ubiuroi shoven, like eating. But other pleasures, other benefits might be described the same way. Yatsu eitzim shanaosan achar biuron, to the exclusion of wood, where the benefit that you get from wood. What's the standard use of wood? You use wood as a fuel. How does wood serve as a fuel? You first burn the wool, converting it into coals. Once it becomes a coal, you then cook on it. You then roast on coals. You don't roast on burning logs. The benefit that you get from wood, then, is a benefit that happens after the original item is no longer there. The original item was wood. It's converted into coals. That's already a different item. And only then do you benefit from it. Let us state that that is in contrast with the Minei Tzvoim, the dyes that we had discussed earlier. They have Kedusha Shvias because their destruction is simultaneous with the benefit that you receive from them. What do we mean by that? The dyeing process is such where you take plants that have pigment within them. While you're boiling the plants, the dye is absorbed into that which it needs to be absorbed into. So while the dye is being absorbed, which represents your benefit, at that point in time, the plant is being destroyed in the boiling process. So that the dye plants that we mentioned earlier, the Svichei Setim and Koitza, which are names of plants, represent Hanaosan Ubiuron Shaveh. in contrast with the source that spoke about the grape leaves being used as fuel, fuel benefits you at a point in time when the original item has already been destroyed. Let's continue in the Gemara. We ask, Va'ika Eitzim D'mashchon D'hanosin U'biron Shavin. Eitzim D'mashchon is a particular type of wood that was used for torches. Torches, fire torches. Source of light. When are you benefiting from that kind of wood? Not after it's been burnt, but while it's burning. So, Eitzim D'mashchon, do you not say that that has Kedusha Shvius? Why do we say that when it comes to wood, it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius because Hanosan Acha Biron? What about Eitzim D'mashchon? Omar Rova. Rova answers, we continue at the top of Daf Kuf Beis. Stam Eitzim Lahasoka Hein Omdin. Wood, in general, is for fuel purposes, not for light. So since the overwhelming majority of wood is for fuel purposes, particularly in the form of cooking on them, and we explained already that that is a hanah that you get after Birun, so it doesn't have the achila, the eating characteristic. Hence, wood never has, I should say that Shemitah sanctity never descends upon wood. Rashi, though, points out, when it comes to the Svichei Setim, we mentioned already, their basic purpose is for dying. So since their basic purpose is for dying, we explained already that their destruction and the benefit you get from them is simultaneous. As far as the Ale Kanim and Ale Gifanim, the leaves of reed plants and vines, there we don't have the basic or stam category in which to insert Ale Kanim and Gifanim. Rather, in their case, there's an equal use of them for eating as well as for fuel. Therefore, in their case, the issue of their kedusha would depend on the machshava, the intent of the one who was harvesting them. But up till this point in the Gemara, stam eitzim, wood, the category of wood, is one of hanaosoi achar biuro, the pleasure that you get from it is after it's already been destroyed. Hence, they don't have kedusha shvius. However, now Rav Kahana tells us that the viewpoint that eitzim lahasoka, that we say that stam eitzim is for fuel purposes, and hence they would not have kedusha shvius, is itself a Tanaic disagreement. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, a nosei. And let's read it together. Ha diamrinon stam eitzim lasoka nitnu. That which we say that basic wood, unqualified wood use, is understood to be for fuel purposes. Dehainu hanoson achar biuron. By saying that stam eitzim lasoka, you're saying that the benefit that you get is after the item has already ceased to be. Namely, the original item has ceased to be. Have machlokes tanoim. That analysis is subject to a tanaic controversy. Nafkamina, the difference being, hayim yochu kedusha shvius al eitzim demashchon. Will Shemitah year sanctity set upon wood which is used for torches. Eisen mei mavuka kedei lohir. We make from them torches for light purposes. Hana'osan shel etzim elu, the benefit from that kind of wood, etzim demashchan, is their hana'a ubi'uron shaveh. Hana'osan shel etzim elu, I'll read again, ubi'uron shaveh. Im oimrim destam etzim kolil atzei mashchan la'asaka. If you take the approach, the general approach, categorizing all wood together by saying that basic wood is for fuel purposes, then lo yochol kedusha shvias al atzei mashchan. Then the atzei mashchan will not gain shmita sanctity. Im lo yamrinan destam etzim la'asok. If you don't take this umbrella approach to wood, then yochol kedusha shvias al atzei mashchan. Al atzei mashchan. Then shmita sanctity will apply to atzei mashchan. The lo ha'ir, they are for light purposes. In that case, using Eitzim Demashchan for torch use, torch value, you're treating it the same way as you do eating of Shemitah produce. And that would impart upon it Kedusha Shvias. But once again, that is a possibility only if you do not say Stam Eitzim La'asoka. So we turn to the Gemara. Maybe even before we read the Gemara, let's look at Rashi on the first narrow line, Tanoihi. Rav Kana tells us that Eitzim La'asoka is a Machlokes Tanoim. Ika Laman Domar Stam Eitzim La'asoka Nitnu. That standard wood, all wood, the general category of wood is for fuel purposes. And if you take that approach, then Shemitah sanctity will not set upon even Eitzim Demashchan, the torch wood. There's another approach that doesn't have that general attitude toward wood. And according to that approach, Shemitah sanctity will chayla, chay means will literally start or take hold upon though that kind of wood, Eitzim Demashchan. Now the Gemara. Desanya, the second line from the top, we have a source that says, Ein moistrin perishvias lo lemashrin velo lekvusa. You're not to use, literally, to give over Shemitah fruits for mashra or for kvusa. We look at Rashi. L'toch mashra ein shorin pishton b'yayin shel shvias v'chein ein mechabsin begodim d'havei schora. One is not to use Shemitah wine for the soaking of flax nor for washing of clothing. There was apparently a method of washing clothing using wine. If you're bothered by the stain factor, so to make things simple, let's talk simply about white wine. The use of Shemitah fruits for that, it's not for eating. It then comes under the category of schora, of commercial use, and that's for prohibited. Continuing in the source, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Noisin Perush Shvias L'Soicha Mashru L'Soicha Kvusa. You can use Perush Shvias for Mashre, for soaking, and for the washing of clothing. My time of the Rabbanan. What's the basis of the prohibition of the first opinion here? Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Li'ochla V'lo L'Mashre. The Torah emphasizes Shemitah fruits are for eating, not for soaking, not for washing. Rabbi Yossi Omar Kro, Rabbi Yossi says, while the Pasuk says, Lochem, that the Shemitah produce is given unto you, L'chol tzorcheichem, for all your needs. In other words, Perush Shvias are available for all your needs, including washing, including kvusa. And naturally, so the Torah allows that. There's no violation in the Shemitah sanctity by using it for kvusa. For Rabbanan nami hoksiv lochem, the Rabbanan who are so restrictive, but what do they do with the word lochem? The Gemara answers, Lochem dumya del achla. In other words, when is it given to you? When the benefit that you derive from it is like eating. B'mi shanoso ubi uro shoven. A benefit that you have that is simultaneous with the destruction, the elimination of the item from which you are benefiting. Yotsu, to the exclusion of mashru klusa, shanosan achar biuran, the pleasure that you get from the Shemitah item is after the Shemitah item has already been destroyed. The Rashi, across from here, a line or two up, says, Mi shanosu birushava, hanoshi b'shah shu kolam in oilam. Benefit that is realized when it disappears from the world, when it's being destroyed. Ati yocholenes mi perushvias, kodim zman habir. That kind of benefit you can have, provided it's before the zman habir, before it goes out of season. The next Rashi says, Yotsu mashru klusa, to the exclusion of mashru and klusa. Shemisha shematilin pishton o beged biyayin. When you put the flax, flax is the raw material from which we make linens, or you take the article of clothing that you want to wash, and you put it in the wine. Niskalkel v'nivar, the wine gets ruined. And is destroyed, the sense of it being wine. The benefit that you get is only after 3 or 4 days after the flax or the clothing were soaking in the wine. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi nami hoksiv lochla. Well, what does Rabbi Yossi do with the word lochla? Omar lochahu miboyole lichiditanya. He learns from lochla that which is taught in the following Tanaic source. Disanya. Do note, by the way, that we have a long answer here. The source says liochla velo lemelugma. Melugma is a Rashi gives you a French word for it. For our purposes, it has to do with something that's therapeutic. So Shemitah is for your eating, not for therapeutic purposes. Ata omer le'ochla v'lo le'melugma, o'eino elo le'ochla v'lo le'kvusa. You say that it's for eating and not for melugma. Maybe it's for eating and not even for kvusa. Well, kishu omer lochem arei kvusa mur. When the Torah says lochem, we see that you're allowed to use it for kvusa. Ha'amani mekayim lochla. So then what do I gain from the restrictive element in lochla? Lochla v'lo l'mlugma. For eating and not for therapeutic purposes. Uma rois l'rabois ha'kvusa l'hoitzias ha'mlugma. What is it that you see to include as legitimate kvusa and as forbidden melugma? Answer. Mar ba'ani es ha'kvusa sheshove b'chol adam. I will include as being permissible Shemitah produce for Kvusa, being that that's something that everyone, the entire population, benefits from. Umotzi ani es hamlugma, to the exclusion of melugma, she'enoi shove b'chol adam. It's not something that all benefit from, only the ill benefit from that. Keman azla ha desanya. We have an unnamed Tanaic source, and we want to know who would the author of the following source be. La'ochla v'lo l'melugma. Shemitah is available for eating, but not for therapeutic purposes. La'ochla v'lo l'ziluf. For eating and not for ziluf. Ziluf was a process where people would who had dirt floors would take liquids, and in this case we're speaking specifically about wine, and sprinkle it on the floor. Not only would it keep the dust from rising, but also give a pleasant aroma to the house. So you cannot use Shemitah wine for ziluf. li'ochlo v'lo lasos mimena apiktvizin. And you can use it for eating, and not for apiktvizin. Apiktvizin is I think it's a Roman form of eating where people would eat and then vomit up their food, pardon the description, and then have room in their digestive system to consume more food and repeat that again and again. That's apiktvizin. So one is not to use to eat Shemitah products in that context. So who would exclude these uses of Shemitah fruits? Exclude Shemitah fruits from Melugma, from Ziluf, from Apikvizin. Notice that there is no exclusion here of, let's say, using it for Kvusa or for Mashra. That's okay. Well, that's okay. What's excluded? Melugma, these, we'll say, unusual uses or limited uses. Limited meaning population-wise, not very few people would benefit from the melugma aspect, or ziluf is for very delicate, finicky individuals. Apiktvizin, I think that speaks for itself. Well, who would author this source? Come on, Rabbi Yossi. This would be in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. The Ika Rabbanon, if you were to imagine this as being authored by the Rabbanon, Ikonami, they would have excluded under La'achla Mashra Ukvusa as well. Now, we were reading a Rashi before. What I'd like to do is go back to the Rashi at this point, now that we've exposed ourselves to the opinions of the Rabbanon and Rav Yossi. We opened up this Omid Gemara with Rav Kahana telling us that Eitzim La'asoka was a Machlokes Tanoim. Rashi develops that where we left off in the Rashi. So, do you notice about a third of the way down from the top of the page, a triangle in the Rashi, the beginning of the line, where we left off before, Vahainu Tanoi. The following is the explanation of the Machlokes Tanoim. The Rabbanon Savri, Stam Peros Le'achila, basic Shemitah fruit is for eating. V'chaylo lai kedusha shvius kiramon li'el. And upon fruits, you have Shemitah sanctity, as we said earlier. The chol davar shanasu b'yirah shaveh chayla. All items upon that we can describe as benefit being simultaneous with their elimination, gain Shemitah sanctity. Hilkach, afilu lokton l'mashru k'fusa. Therefore, when it comes to fruits, even if you had in mind to using them for mashru k'fusa, lo mahanya machshava, your personal thoughts do not have the effect of lafkuyu suran to cancel their prohibition, cancel their sanctity. Lemeheve kali konim shelokton leitzim the mishteru, to be like vine leaves that you picked for fuel purposes. There we say that's allowed. Tahasam, where it comes to the vine leaves, grape leaves, stamai lochi lochi, their unqualified use stands for both purposes equally, for eating and for fuel. Therefore, in a case like that, your decision makes a difference. Avol peros stamon achila, fruits are basically for eating purposes. Umishas yitzirasan chayel kedushasan, and from the moment of their formation, they gain sanctity. Vesulo mahani machshova lafkuyin, your personal plans to use it for something else have no effect on them eliminating or canceling that sanctity. So there's sanctity on peros shvius, on fruits that grow during the Shemitah year. Vasurin lemashru kvisa, and you cannot use them for flax soaking or for washing clothing. De'ein nenin b'dushis shvius elo hanoa doimel achila. You're not allowed to benefit from Shemitah products other than that kind of benefit which is similar to eating. And as we said so many times, we're hanosu b'yurin shoveh. V'gabi eitzim nami. And here is the focus of our discussion regarding wood as well, following this mindset, the mindset of the Rabbanan. Nami stam eitzim lasoka nitnu. Basic wood is for fuel purposes. Velo chaylo afilo eitzim demashlam. Since we look at wood through the eyes of their basic general overwhelmingly popular use, namely as fuel, they don't gain Shemitah sanctity. Even the Eitzim Demashan, that was the wood that people would use for torches. Stam Eitzim, as we've said, the Hana, the benefit that you get from it is after Bi'uran. And therefore the concept of La'ochla has no relevance to wood. Therefore wood is not included in Kedushas Shvias. We have an interesting phenomenon here. When you look at the opinion of the Rabbanon, you see an element of restriction and an element of leniency. The element of restriction is, we saw by Stamperos, you can't use them for uses other than eating. You can't use them for mashra, for kvusa, and certainly not for the other unusual uses we mentioned earlier. So you see an element of restrictiveness in the Rabbanan. However, when it comes to wood, you see an unqualified permission granted for the use of Shemitah wood for whatever, and they don't gain Shemitah sanctity. That's a leniency. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He holds lo amrinon, that we don't say stam peros lachilo nitnu. He doesn't approach the growth of Shemitah year items with the general use as a means of defining sanctity. He doesn't approach them that way. Therefore, since he does not say stam peros are restricted to eating, therefore your decision to use the fruits for different purposes is effective, just like we said your decision is effective when it comes to the alei kanim ugefanim, the hecha delikton lemashra, where you pick the fruits for mashra purposes. Avidover shanoso achaviru. It's a kind of benefit that happens, that you benefit after it's destroyed. Velo chal alayu shvias, and as a result, even though you're dealing with fruits, Shemitah will not take hold upon them. Now, at this point, what about when it comes to wood? So since Rabbi Yossi doesn't say stam, he doesn't look at the stam, the general use of the item in defining it, so he's not going to say stam eitzim lahasoka either. As a result of that, when it comes to eitzim demashchan, the torch wood, where the hano and the biur are simultaneous, kedushas shvias will set upon them. Just one more detail that we mentioned already before, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi justifies the use of peros shvias for mashra and kvusa, but that's because it's a type of benefit that is uniformly enjoyed by the entire population. Unusual forms of benefit, or limited forms of benefit, limited population-wise, even Rabbi Yossi says you cannot use the peros shvias for those kind of things. As we said, that was derived from scriptural analysis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.